Hello and a big welcome to the latest episode of the Pure Vacations podcast. My name is Dan Pratt and I am the Chief Operating Officer at Pure One Group. I'm joined by Eriko, who's going to talk all about Osaka and Japan. She's from the Osaka Convention and Tourism Bureau and I'm super excited about this. Japan's one place I've always wanted to go to since I was a kid, so really excited about hearing all of the things. And of course, I am joined by Wesley Baker, CEO of Pure One Group. On today's show... And I was very pink because it was very hot, and I also looked like a thumb.
Interesting, they got something from Paris, Dan, but nothing from London.
Yeah, you can go cycling.
Wow.
Please tell us if we're wrong here, we're having an argument.
My recommendation is simple, like eat, 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 and like eat more.
Journey with us to the corners of the earth, where stories come alive and dreams take flight. From the bustling streets of Tokyo to the serene shores of Bora Bora, every destination has a tale, and we're here to share it. Brought to you by the man who's trekked the peaks, dived the depths, and explored the vast expanse of our beautiful world. Here's your captain for today's adventure, the seasoned traveler and the voice of voyages, Wesley Baker. And alongside Wesley is Dan Pratt.
Eriko, if you'd just like to say hello and let our audience know who you are, that'd be great.
Okay, hello everybody. Thank you for having me today. My name is Eriko from Osaka Convention Tourism Bureau. Osaka Convention Tourism Bureau is a destination marketing organization promoting Osaka as one of the world's most vibrant destinations. And then this is actually my very first time speaking on the podcast, so I'm a bit nervous, but I'm really excited to share the magic of Osaka with your listeners.
That's brilliant. Thank you so much for being here, and I'm so excited about this. And Wesley, thanks for joining us as well. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Great. I had a good weekend and looking forward to this podcast. I'm really interested in Japan, and I think this is great. And I love it when it's someone's first Virgin podcast as well, because I think that's fantastic as well. So we'll guide her through this, and I'm sure our listeners will enjoy everything that they hear and find today.
Well, it's absolutely brilliant. And I was saying just before we started the podcast, my French teacher, Millie, her husband's Japanese, and I've learned a lot about Japan from watching her Instagram feeds and talking to her, and I follow lots of YouTubes. And ever since I was a little boy, I've been obsessed with Japanese culture, not just the technology side of things, but obviously I used to have a Sega Mega Drive as well. I've been obsessed with the culture, the food as well. One of my favorite dishes is Japanese food. And so, yeah, really looking forward to hearing about that. So just to kick off then, so one question, obviously, what makes Osaka different to what people might have in their minds? Obviously Tokyo is the big obvious one, but what makes Osaka and that region different to the norm that people generally think of?
Like compared to Tokyo, I think Osaka feels warmer and more friendly. People are easy to talk to, and like there's, I think, strong sense of connection. And then maybe Kyoto is also a very famous city, which is famous for like traditional cultures. Osaka is more like lively and fun and full of energy. Like Osaka people, we call Osakan, like love to laugh. And then like people from all over the world often feel like more welcome than other city right away.
Okay, that's really interesting. So just to hit us off from the bat straight away, okay, Osaka's on what geographically, whereabouts in Japan is it? And how easy is it to get to Osaka? Is it, I'm assuming it has a direct airport. Does it have direct flights from the UK and Europe and America? Or what's the best way? So let's just understand, so the listeners can visualize in their mind the lovely trail of how Japan's laid up on that Pacific. Whereabouts is it? Compared to, say, where Tokyo is and everything else?
Actually, Japan is of course, you all know, it's an island. And then Osaka is like almost the middle of the island. And then we do We actually don't have direct flights from UK, but we do have some direct flight from like Paris, Amsterdam, and then Finland. But maybe like recently people fly from UK to Tokyo, and then from Tokyo they take the bullet train to Osaka and then fly out from Osaka. That's very common recently, I heard.
Yeah, that's interesting because I was actually in Helsinki and I remember seeing
Really?
I saw a flight to Osaka there, and I remember thinking there, wow, that was, I didn't expect it in Helsinki, so I was quite shocked how many Japanese travellers were there actually, and it was quite they're all in the business lounge. We were sharing the same business lounge. So the bullet train from Tokyo, how long does it take to get to Osaka?
It's about 2.5 hours.
Okay. So it's
Yeah, by
quite a
bullet
quick
train.
trip. Yeah,
And then
quite a quick trip.
I'm sorry, we also have direct flight from Tokyo to Osaka. It's about an hour.
Oh, okay. So effectively, it's just a connection on if you're booking. Okay, but well, that's really interesting. It's interesting they've got something from Paris then, but nothing from London.
Yeah, I'm really super excited to hear that because I live literally about half an hour, 30 minutes from Charles de Gaulle Airport, which is obviously the big Paris airport. So literally, I could come to Osaka directly, which would be amazing. I really need to do that one day.
So, I'm excited about this. So you say Osakian people, is that how you said it? The people of
Yeah, Osaka, yeah.
So you're very lively people. You're happy, and so culturally, how long would you suggest that a visitor comes to Osaka and perhaps the region around Osaka? What would be the sort of standard sort of visitation time?
Well, if it's their first time, they can like walk around the city center. Like there's a place called Dotonbori, which is famous for the Running Man signage. Yeah, there are many good street foods there, and you can also shop there, and there's some river cruise there too. And then we also have Osaka Castle, and then we have shrines and temples. So maybe for first time, yeah, maybe you can like visit these kind of places. But also what is interesting that Osaka has many traditional crafts like knife making and like tinware making. So like if people are like second time in Osaka, I recommend, well, we recommend people to experience those kind of culture of like, yeah, making a tin cup or like experiencing knife making and stuff like that.
Okay, so how long would you suggest a first stay should be? I mean, how many nights would you recommend? I mean, this is always a hard question because, to get to Japan, you're going to travel a long way anyway. So,
Yeah.
it's how, but somewhat, I'm assuming people would say, okay, look, I want to go there. I want it to be part of my trip. Maybe they're going to Tokyo first, particularly if they're coming from the UK, they might be going to Tokyo first, rather than direct and then connecting on. So, how long would you suggest a good stay would be in your region? Because that's important if people are planning this, if it's the first day, if it's the second day, if someone's been already and they're thinking, actually, I want to go back, how long would you
Yeah.
suggest to look at?
Maybe 3 nights. And then
Okay.
like actually if you stay in Osaka, you can visit to Kyoto or Narita, like old Japan places, which is famous for shrines and temples. So like if people are interested in Kyoto and Nara, they can stay longer. But like if it's only in Osaka, maybe 3 nights.
Okay, so I'm just going to pick up on that because that's re really quite important. What you just basically said there was Osaka could be a center point for you to have your travel from that point. So you could plan an initial stay in Osaka for 3 nights, but you could travel from Osaka to other places within ease and come back to Osaka as the main hub at the start and the end of your trip. That's really interesting. Okay, and so what type of people does Osaka attract? What's is the is it is it just business community? Is it elderly travelers? Is it young travelers? I mean, what does the sort of travelers that in majority go to Osaka?
Actually diverse. Like for like if you have kids, we do have Universal Studios Japan and other like entertainment. So if You have kids, yes, they also can have fun. But for elderly people, yes, we do have like shrines and temples and experiences. I think so it's diverse. We have like wide ranges of age.
And from the business people, you have conference centers and all that type of thing,
Oh
I'm
yeah,
assuming.
we do, we do. Yes, we
Yeah.
do, we do.
Okay. And what about a, sorry, I'm asking a lot of questions here, Dan, but I'm just really trying to
Yeah, no, that's
understand
cool. I'm
the
loving the
process.
questions. They're great questions.
Okay, what about accommodation? I mean, tell us the range of sort of accommodation that's available in the city and where you would stay. The type of accommodation that you would sort of say, oh, I really like this. This is really something that I think is better. Because obviously we're used to all the big brands, the Hiltons and the well, all the other brands, the Marriotts and everything else. I'm sure they're all there, no doubt about that. But what type of stay would you say that people should look for, and what type of accommodation?
Actually, last year we had World Exposition, World Expo, and then we do have a lot of new hotels, like wide range, like from like luxury and then to like cheap one. Like
Budgets, yeah.
we call it called like business hotels in Japan. We do have wide ranges, and then for families, they're like rooms with kitchens and like refrigerator and like things like that. So we do have wide ranges of hotels and places where we can where people can stay. It depends which like le which level of hotel you are looking for, but we do have a lot
Do you
of
have a
hotel.
is there like traditional accommodation there as well? I mean, I miss bear in mind that both Dan and I have not been there, so we're trying to visualize this. You see this every day, but for us, we're visualizing in our mind here what Osaka looks like. So I'm trying to understand, if I wanted a traditional experience, do you have that type of accommodation I can go to, and what does that look like?
Oh yes, we do have Japanese style inn, like it's
Okay.
old building, and then we do
Wow.
have hot springs inside, and then
Superb.
we don't they don't have oh some rooms have beds, but like it's not a bed, it's like only mattress, and you sleep on that mattress, the Japanese style inn. Yes, we do have those kind of we call it ryokan. Yes, we do have those. And then,
That's really interesting, yeah.
Do you hear it? The world is calling. From untouched beaches to the heartbeats of age-old cities, Pure Vacations is your gateway to authentic travel experiences. We don't just take you to destinations, we dive deep into their soul.
Into their soul.
With expert insights, local secrets, and mesmerizing tales.
Mesmerizing tales.
Our online travel blog is your compass to the world's wonders. Pure Vacations. Discover. Explore. Be inspired. Your journey begins here. Visit purevacations.com.
Okay. Dan, you got any questions you want to chuck in
Yes.
there?
Yes, I just
Sitting there
wanted to talk.
happy like
Yes.
Tom Thumb in your studio there.
Basically, we escaped the Paris the other week, and we went to La Touquet, which is the north of France. And because I didn't have a desk, I had to slouch over in my bed, and I was very pink because it was very hot, and I also looked like a thumb. So everything just
But
sort of like merged into one
I
thing.
call it for the listener, I call him Tom Thumb now every time I see
So yeah, that gives the listeners a bit of
him.
context where that came from. But yeah, I am a bit thummy, to be fair, when I'm sat down. But yeah, so a couple of things I just want to ask you about is architecture. I'm a massive fan of architecture, and I love design. I love how buildings are put together, and it amazes me the difference in kind of you've got the big modern glass skyscrapers and stuff, but the ancient history and some of the buildings that are thousands of years old, constructed in its traditional form. So if I was to come to Osaka, and I am interested in engineering and things like that, what would be the highlights, old and new? Where could I see the best buildings?
That will be Nakanoshima area. There's some old buildings that wasn't burned from the fires and things like that. It still remains very beautifully. Yeah, and then also maybe if you love architecture, there's famous art deco Tadao Ando. He's from Osaka too, and then he also built a lot of buildings in that area too. So if you are interested in those kind of buildings and old buildings, maybe you can take a walk around Nakanoshima area.
That's great. And my second question is around food. One of my favorite dishes in the world is a katsu curry, chicken katsu curry. I absolutely love it. Obviously, I'm a big fan of sushi as well, but this is kind of my guilty pleasure. I used to work for Virgin years ago, and we had a street food place just behind the office. And probably 4 out of 5 days, I was going and having exactly the same katsu curry. It was delicious. And where I live in France, actually, it's very difficult to find a katsu curry, so I have to make it myself. And the sauce, it consists of about 15, 20 different ingredients. It's very complex. So what kind of so on that kind of topic, everybody knows a katsu curry, everybody knows sushi. What's kind of the hidden, off the beaten track kind of food that locals would eat, that kind of what's your staples that you'd cook at home that kind of aren't as ubiquitous as like a katsu curry or sushi?
Food is a very big part of life in Osaka. It's not just about eating. It is like also about culture and communication tools, I think. And Osaka is often called the nation's kitchen because of its long history as Japan's food capital. We do have like Michelin star restaurant, local specialties, or the delicious street foods. Like Osaka has some something for like every food lover. And then in Osaka, we have a famous saying called "Fui Daole," which means "eat until you drop." So during your stay, my recommendation is simple: like eat, 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 and like eat more. And then what the local food is takoyaki. It's a small round balls with octopus inside, crispy on the
Wow,
outside and
sounds
soft on
delicious.
the inside. And then one more is okonomiyaki. It's a savory pancake made with cabbage and other ingredients topped with rich sauce.
So just so obviously when you're in the seaside, most of the food is sea-based. When you're inland, different countries have different food types because of where they're located. So what sort of food is around there? Is it mainly beef? Is it mainly kind of what's the vegetation like? What's the main vegetables grown in that
I
area?
would have thought a lot of it is still seafood, Dan, just to speaking, just because it's only 2 hours from the coastline, I would have thought.
So it's
So
quite
I'm
quick.
just an idea. I mean, I might be wrong. Please tell us if we're wrong here. We're having an argument, so please tell us.
We have like many like types of foods. So like if you are vegetarians, we do have menus for vegetarians. For halal people, yes, we do have halal meal. There's a lot for like each people. So I think for about food, I think you don't need to like worry a lot, I think.
Okay, so a question I want to ask now, if you don't mind, is how easy is it to explore Osaka itself and the surrounding region? We've talked about the way we can get there, the high speed train, the plane, but what about when you're there? How does one get around Osaka itself and also the region area?
Subways and trains. It's very convenient and easier than Tokyo, not complicated.
So that's a really, really straightforward to the point answer there. That's a good one. Okay, another point I wanted to ask for the listeners, because say we've convinced them now to come. What attractions and new experiences maybe are there that the visitors can discover that maybe have happened over the last few years or maybe are still there that people don't know about? I mean, do you have like any experiences or any major attractions in the city itself or near any outskirts?
We do have new attractions. Like, I don't know whether this is famous in Europe or not. There's lightning show called Team Lab. Have you ever heard about that? We do
No.
have Team Lab. Usually Team Lab is inside the buildings, but in Osaka it's outside in the botanical garden. So you can like take a walk around the botanical gardens and see the light shows.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
Okay.
that's very cool.
What is one mistake that a visitor often makes, particularly from Europe and the UK, to Osaka? What is the one mistake that you think that they do wrong when they come?
Yes, many people think Osaka is just a busy city. It's because second largest city, and then like with neon lights, shopping, but like there's like much more to do, I think. Like you can visit historical places like temples, and then parks. We do have many parks in Osaka itself, and we do have beautiful mountains and beautiful rivers. And we do have history, nature, culture, yeah. And
So
then the more.
do you have a lot lots of adventure sports and all that sort of thing in that area? I mean, do people do stuff down the rivers? Do you know explain to your okay, put it this way. Okay, I'm still unclear about Osaka. I know where it is now. I know where it sits and I had to get there. But describe to the listener geographically. Bear in mind they're not looking, they're listening to this. So geographically, what does it look like around the area? Is it mountainous? Is it flat? Is there other activities outside that they can do? You know, is there adventure activities? You know, all this. It's just an interesting question, but it's one that I think you know, listeners like to understand and get a vision.
City center is very like it's city center
It's
as
just
like
a should
same
be
as
buildings, isn't it?
it's yeah buildings and things like about if like 20 or 30 minutes away from the city you see mountains and rivers and then yeah like for like outdoor activities yeah you can go cycling with bike yeah bike and then of course you there's a lot of activities
Do you
to
have like skiing in the winter and stuff like that in the mountains or
No,
not? No.
actually, no. We don't like have a much snow.
That brings me on to another question then, climate. Okay, so the weather, it all year long. What is the weather like? Do you have four seasons? Do you only have one season, or what? You know, I mean, I have no idea.
We do have 4 seasons for Osaka. It's humid in the summertime. So right now it's very humid and hot. But like in winters it's cold, but not no no not no snows. It doesn't snow much. And
So,
then the spring and fall, autumn, it's very beautiful.
do you do your temperatures in Celsius or Fahrenheit?
Celsius.
Okay, so what would be a winter temperature and what would be a summer temperature? An average,
Summer
just an
for
average.
now. Summer.
What's it
About
for today?
30,
Yeah. What are we?
33, 33 degrees.
33. Okay. Yeah. So not much different to what the UK was last week.
Yeah,
And
that's
in
true.
the winter?
In December, about 9, 10, but
Okay.
January, February, 8, 5, 5 to 8. It depends on
Okay.
the year, but around average, yeah.
So really, Osaka's got very similar temperature to Northern Europe, in like Paris and London in that respect. It's just in summer you probably have more humidity and perhaps it's a bit more tropical, but you have very similar temperature ranges. Well, certainly to London anyway, or the UK, because the UK I would say is very similar to that. We do get colder periods where we get snow and everything else, and certainly the northern part of England is cooler than the south, some part, but or the UK, I should say, not just England. But from what you're saying there is Osaka's very temperament sort of climate. It has those seasons, and they're not much different than to our seasons, really, in that respect. But which is interesting.
Are you ready to explore the world a little differently? With Pure One Travel, adults-only adventures meet style. Discover unforgettable journeys, small group experiences, and incredible destinations designed for curious travelers like you. From hidden cultural gems to breathtaking landscapes, every trip is carefully crafted to inspire your next great story. Travel deeper, travel smarter, travel with purpose. Visit pureonetravel.com today. Pure One Travel, adventures with a touch of style.
Dan, any more questions your way?
I just want to ask about industries and jobs and kind of the economic side of things. So obviously it's a major city. So like Paris or London, there's going to be a range of different jobs, office-based, manufacturing, all sorts. But what's the kind of typical average local? Where do they kind of work? How do they live their lives? What's the city like?
People mainly work in the city or a city. I think that's an average. And then we do have like tourism is a big part of Osaka, I think right now.
I was looking on, I was just doing my research while we were talking, and it says Osaka is one of the most popular cities, and it's famous for fun, food, and nightlife with a history of peeking through. So, that is so what, how do locals sort of celebrate when they finish work? Is it like karaoke? Is there bars? Is it restaurants? Is it fishing? What kind of activities do people do to pass their time in, as leisure?
Go out and drink. Typical Japanese.
Drink and eat, because you said they eat a lot as well. So,
Yeah, eat. Yeah. We do eat and drink a lot.
so that's really interesting. What sort of budget should people be looking at? I mean, is it in the expensive city? You know, is it expensive to live there, to visit, or what? I mean, what sort of a meal, how much does a meal cost per person, type of thing, and drink? I mean, because these are important costs that people have to take into account. So, what would you say the sort of cost would be?
Compared to Tokyo, Osaka is much more cheaper. And
Okay.
then for lunch, usually for like us, people like work, it's about 1,000 Japanese yen. So 5 euros, around £5.
That's really cheap. That's really, really good value.
So yeah, because right now yen is like super weak. So that's
Yeah.
why recently many people from like European countries, the States, coming to Japan.
So basically, Japan's really, really reasonable now, which is fantastic, because it was expensive once. That's really good. Okay, now listen, you have a lot of notes there, because I've seen you peering at your notes. Is there anything you would like to tell us about Osaka and the listeners that we haven't covered? You must have things that you wanted to bring up and talk about, and we've asked a lot of questions, but I'm just assuming you might say, look, I want this opportunity to say this. Is there anything like that?
I think Osaka, the most attractive things in Osaka, I think it's people, as maybe I said in the first, which I said, people are really super nice compared to Tokyo. So if you get lost, people will take you to the place where you want to go. They are like that. So I think, yeah, of course you can visit many tourist spots and other like experience many things. In addition, I think I want people to have more like communication c communicate with like people living in Osaka.
Great. Well, Dan, I think we've covered quite a lot on this call. Is there any particular questions you might still have to throw across?
Yeah, I just want to say a couple of last things. So I'm just looking on the map now, and Osaka is right next to the coast. It's right next to the ocean. So obviously, is there much kind of surf? Do people swim a lot? Is there kind of What's the kind of water sports activities in the area? That's the first question, and I have another one afterwards.
You cannot, unfortunately, you cannot surf, but you can swim. Yeah, there's a beach, so yes, you can swim.
Cool. And I also look, one of my favorite, like I said, I love engineering and architecture and things like that. And I've watched many programs about the Kansai International Airport. I think it's a feat of engineering how they built it on the ocean. And it's steadily sinking, obviously, as the ocean reclaims the. So how long left is the as that? Sorry, just to quickly go back to the other thing. I watched about all the infrastructure of getting there. They had to build miles of tunnels and trains to link it to Kyoto and all sorts of places. So should people be, Osaka people, concerned about Kansai Airport? Is it on its last legs, or is it fine for the future? Is it just what the media are saying?
I think it's fine. Yeah. I mean, we are not concerned about the thinking thing.
Cool. Well, that's all the questions for me. Like I said, it looks like an amazing city. I've been looking it up while we've been doing this, and I didn't realize it was
You've
right
been
there.
cheating. You've been cheating, Dan. I purposely wasn't doing that. And you were sitting there looking and reading away.
Well, at the start, I came in open-minded as the start, and you've given me lots of ideas to think and look at. So again, I wanted to see where it was on the map. I wanted to look at what landmarks were around the infrastructure,
It's
and
interesting that it's on like a big bay. It's in the big bay area with an island opposite as well. And I didn't know that about the airport. Dan. So that was really interesting to find out about the airport, and I like all that sort of stuff. Okay, well, I think we've given the listeners something positive to listen to, and anyway, I'll leave you to wrap this one up, Dan.
Cool, perfect. Well, it's been absolutely fantastic. And where should our listeners go to if they want to learn more about Osaka? Have you got a like a website, a tourism website for people to go to? What would they go to?
We do have a website called Osaka Info, and if you are coming to Osaka, please go and see that website.
Cool, that's brilliant. So
One
everybody,
final thing I want to put in there. Is English widely spoken, or is it not?
great
Is
question.
it not that widely spoken in the city?
It became better these few years because many tourists come visit Osaka. But still, some places, like not in the city center, some people don't speak English. But as I said, people try. Osaka people loves to like communicate with foreign people, so they
Okay,
try.
that's
Even
fantastic.
they don't speak.
Yeah. Well, there's always Google Translate anyway, unless you're in England. So,
Yeah.
yeah, so.
Just one more last question on that, actually. How does payment work? Is like the big MasterCard, Visa, are they accepted, or is it local kind of payment infrastructure that you need to use?
You can use the credit card, the big brand Visa, MasterCard, yes. But in some small shops or restaurants, they only accept cash. So I recommend to have people should have some cash with you when you
That's
travel to Japan.
interesting. So what we've seen here in the UK and Europe is that things have switched more and more to electronics and to phone, tap pay. But you're saying cash is still king in old parts of Osaka. Okay, that's really interesting. That's a really good point, and nice to hear as well, because that would be quite embarrassing if you turned up with hardly any money and you'd have to get it out. Brilliant, excellent.
Thank you so much, Erica. I really appreciate that. It's been
Thank you.
eye-opening, and yeah, some a place that I still really, really want to visit, and even more so after this conversation. So I will I'll give you a shout one day if I manage to get there, for sure. So yeah, like I said to everybody, thank you so much for tuning in today. If you go to purevacations.com, there's a lot of articles around Japan and Osaka, which you can look up and learn more. So purevacations.com. And I just want to say thank you so much to everybody for being here. Without you listening, the podcast wouldn't exist. So very, very kind of you to take the time out and listen to this, and hope you found it just as interesting as we have. So have a lovely rest of your day, have a lovely rest of your week, and I look forward to speaking to you all again very, very soon. So thanks so much, and bye-bye.
As the sun sets on another journey, we fold our maps, pack our memories, and get ready for the next adventure. Every voyage may come to an end, but the stories, they linger, resonating in our hearts. Remember, every destination is a doorway to a new experience, a new story. Keep exploring and keep dreaming. This has been Pure Vacations with your hosts, Wesley Baker and Dan Pratt. Until next time, let your heart wander and your feet will follow.